Welcome to The Right You, where we teach you a little Texas law and provide hints for navigating the Texas legal system in the process, all sponsored by The Right Firm. So get ready to start your legal education.
This is Patrick Wright with The Right You, coming to you as always, and this is the seventh episode of The Right You, in our attempt to provide information to Texans, smooth your way through the Texas legal process. And we're coming to you today from the Advanced Family Law Conference in San Antonio, Texas, a four-day conference where family lawyers from Texas gather in order to learn the new and upcoming Texas law, and also to hone their skills. You know, when you're listening to this, you're trying to get educated on Texas law, and it's not uncommon for lawyers to also seek education and to continually update and renew their skills. Now, with me today, I also have Paul Wright. He's a law partner with me at The Right Firm. How are you doing today, Paul?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Hey, what do you think about the conference?
I love the conference. The education is equally as enlightening as the bar.
and in the conference, just so people know, you know, just as you're trying to get educated, that in Texas, that lawyers have to maintain continuing legal education too, don't they?
They do, and you know, I'm actually again kind of wondering why we're not doing this from the bar, but we are in fact right outside of the conference doors, right?
Yes, we are. There are, you know, essentially about 1,400 lawyers that are either in their rooms listening to the conference right now, or in the rooms right behind us. You may be able to hear people walking around in the background, and you know, we're just part of the process, and feel like it's important that we could take a break to provide you also a little bit of information today too, as a consumer. One of the things that we thought we were going to talk about, based upon one of the topics that we discussed here, was on alimony in Texas, and you know, my joke is that people hated alimony, and the name of alimony so bad that they actually didn't even call it alimony. They called it spousal maintenance in Texas. And you know, of all the states, when they went in and adopted a state statute, I believe Texas was actually the last state that adopted a provision related to alimony. And traditionally, it's been fairly hard for people to get. I mean, one of the provisions in it, in the statute right now, provides that you've got to be married for 10 years or more from a duration of marriage standpoint. You know, unless that in order to do that, unless there's been a situation where someone's been convicted or received deferred adjudication for a criminal offense that also constituted an act of family violence, and that occurred within 2 years of the date on which suit of dissolution of marriage is filed, while the suit is pending. You know, and another thing too is that the spouse seeking maintenance lacks sufficient property upon dissolution of marriage to provide for their minimum needs, as limited by the Texas Family Code, as well as the 10-year durational requirement. Now, Paul, you know, one of the things that we always talk about is what are the type of things that a court's going to look at for making a determination about whether someone is eligible to receive alimony payments?
Well, you know, under the chapter, you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of factors that the courts are going to look at. You know, I know that we typically view them as being relevant factors. You know, kind of things like the ability of each spouse to provide for, you know, that spouse's minimum reasonable needs. You know, things like the spouse's financial resources, also the education and employment skills of the spouse. You know, and basically the you know, things like the, you know, the duration of the marriage, the age, employment history, earnings ability, things like that. You know, so there are, in fact, you know, a lot of factors that, you know, your lawyer in trying to make this determination is going to want to basically look at, you know, in order of getting an award of spousal maintenance.
Yeah, and just so that you out there, the consumer, will note that, you know, when you're looking at the statute, I think it scares a lot of people. There are a lot of people are a little bit nervous. You know, when they're looking at the statute, because they think they're going to have to pay. You know, you have to admit up front, it's kind of hard to get.
Yeah, I'll admit that.
And you know, if you look at the trends and what the courts have done in that over the years, they've been, you know, very, very reticent, limited on being able to provide that, and only the most extreme circumstances. Have they gone that route? In fact, I think I remember a study that was done by the Dallas judges, Dallas Bench Bar, a few years back, and it was actually shocking the number of limited amount of times that alimony had actually been awarded. Of course, we have to point out, too, that The type of alimony we're talking about is a statutory amount. For someone who's sitting there listening out there, what that means is it's by code. It's something that it's either law that the court has to look at. And when we're looking at these prescriptions as far as the limitations that can be prescribed on there, we're just basically talking about law. But I will tell you that the other thing about it, too, is when we're doing that, is that there is a limited amount and duration that can be determined. And right now, is the way the statute stands, that essentially is a lesser of $2,500 or 20% of someone's gross monthly pay. And you may be familiar, if you're paying child support, that, you know, child support's paid off the net number. But if you look at alimony, it's off the gross number. And I think, Paul, you're we pointed this out before in our podcast related to the probate stuff, that you're a CPA, right?
I am.
And you know, for the people who are out there, occasionally people will come into our office and they'll say, what is the tax ramifications of alimony? Can you tell the people out there, you know, what benefit it might be and how tax-wise it will affect them?
Well, you know, I think that from a standpoint of a tax situation, you know, a lot of lawyers get into it. A lot of lawyers really don't want to talk about taxes in a decree. I mean, it's kind of a taboo subject with lawyers. But, you know, basically it depends on whether you're going to pick it up, in the income, whether you're going to get a deduction for it, Frank.
And let me ask you this. So if I'm, you know, someone, and, you know, court orders me to pay alimony,
right,
to my spouse, I mean, am I going to be able to deduct that as a tax standpoint?
Yes, you would.
Okay, so it's deductible, right. And then for the person who's receiving it, then what is sense. How's the IRS view?
Well, I mean, to the extent that you have one party to a transaction that basically getting a deduction, the IRS also looks at the flip side of that transaction. They're going to want to make someone pick something up as income. So.
All right. So, is there any sort of, just so we're talking about it because we're on the subject, is there any sort of tax treatment as far as child support?
No, not on child support.
Okay, so really not a taxable deal. But, and again, and just so you'll know out there, when you're looking at this, I mean, right now the court can't order maintenance that requires an obligor, the person who's required to pay it, to pay a monthly amount that is essentially, it's the lesser of $2,500 or 20% of a spouse's average monthly gross income, and that's for a time period. Well, let me just test Paul to see if Paul knows. If not, help him out. Right now, there's a limitation on the amount of time period that the court could order that be paid. Is that right, Paul?
That's my understanding, yeah.
And do you know the time period, just so we can have a little quiz here from the course?
I can't believe in the course that you're quizzing me on this stuff, but I'm going to let you answer that question, family law guru of the firm.
Yeah, so. I appreciate that. It's a three-year time period right now. The courts have to actually look at it to try to figure out what the lesser amount of time is. You know, a lot of people see that statute and they think, oh, I'm going to have to pay for 3 years. And that's really not what the statute is as far as the amount of time period that it's supposed to be paid for what it's worth. But, you know, for the purposes of determining this, you know, I think it's important to note that this statute is sort of in flux. And one of the things that we've just talked about here is, it's getting ready to be a legislative time in Texas, and there may be some changes that may be made to law. And you know, so it's really important that you know, if you're going through a situation or you're facing a situation where this may occur to you or be happening to you, that you definitely ask your lawyer and consult with your lawyer. Because when it's next legislative session, there are some significant changes, such as trying to increase what that monthly amount is. You know, and right now, with the time period of 3 years, it's sort of limiting. There's some discussion that has been talked about some time periods as far as the maintenance would be in effect for. There have been some talk about, you know, a five-year time period, a seven, and a 10-year based upon the duration of the marriage. And so, you know, those are things that you really need to consider. As of the time period of us doing this podcast, that could come up and could affect you in the future. You agree?
I would, but, you know, it's one of the things, like with most areas of law, that, you know, it's always in flux. And so, you know, you're not going to just basically go to some static book like you would in a library. You're going to want to go and consult with a competent Texas lawyer.
And, you know, that's the reason why we're trying to give you this podcast information, so that you'll know that there are some potential changes maybe down the road. It's not to say they're going to pass. You know, the legislature's sort of in a flux itself this year in Texas because we're in a situation where everybody, because of the way the economy is looking for money. And so, you know, that obviously is probably going to take the forefront and be in the forefront of the discussions down at the session. But this is one of the things that you need to be concerned about. But that just is a brief description about alimony in Texas and potentially, you know, from the time period to the requirements. I will point out, too, that we haven't talked about the fact that there's some presumed presumptions in the family code. You know, one of those presumptions is that you have to you know, essentially either be looking for a job or you know, going back to school. And if you don't hit those presumptions, you're not going to qualify. So, you know, really for a situation where you have a woman who's a stay-at-home mom, she needs to be out there looking for a job, trying to find a job for employment or trying to look at a school to get back into school right now the way that the statute reads, as a presumption to be able to qualify for it. And then the real standard is to be able to provide for your minimum reasonable needs. I mean, if you're in a situation where there's an estate, you know, that's a, you know, $500,000, and you're getting $250,000, well, that can be a factor that can be, that can come into play when, you know, someone's trying to figure out whether or not you should even be awarded alimony because you can't provide for your minimum reasonable needs. But, you know, those are just some really high points. And on alimony, Paul, do you have anything to add?
No, I just basically would say what you just said, which is that, you know, kind of like you're not really going for the money shot here. You know, you're talking about reasonable needs, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, I hope this information has been helpful to you guys out there. We're going to go back and join the conference and see what else we can learn for our limited time that we have left here in San Antonio. And thanks for taking time out of your day to listen to us here at The Right View. Always a situation where we're trying to provide information to you as Texans to help guide you through the Texas legal process.
Thanks for listening to us on The Right View. If you'd like to reach us, you may call us at 972-353-4600 or check us out on the web, therightlawyers.com.